Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And let's bring on the calls here and go to Rob in Dublin. Rob, what's happening, man? Do starters matter to you? Who starts the game? Does that matter to you at all, Rob?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Absolutely not, man. It's and I love the fact that Kerr is playing around with your different lineups right now, and the fact that, hey, it's how you finish the game, period. How you finish. And I think a lot of these, you know, the younger generation, they put a lot of clout and a lot of, you know, status behind that. Mm-hmm. I'm starting. And these are young guys. I mean, yeah, of course they want to start. But, hey, I think J.K. has grown over the last couple of years. He's matured. You can tell in his answer. Like you just said, Bonta, his answer at the end of the game was like, he wouldn't have said that a year ago, 2 years ago. He would have been pouting or whatever, but it shows his growth, his maturity. He, you know, you saw him in the gym over the summer. The guy is good, man. I think we're going to be fine. Yeah. Hey, go Dubs, man. Y'all enjoy y'all Wednesday. It's hump day, everybody. Let's have a good rest of the week. Let's go.
Good call on that. You know, it's interesting. And I think he's right. I've worked with a couple of different big corporations where individuals, and me at a younger age, I feel like I wanted a specific title, right? A specific job title because I thought it brought status, right? And like, I didn't want to be, you know, just a marketing associate or something like that. You don't want to be an admin, you know, like you think that there's no status in that. And I think at a younger age, a lot of people are searching for titles because they think it comes with gravitas. And then you get a little older and you realize like, just pay me the most. You know what I mean? Just give me a situation that I can thrive in, where I can make my family happy and I can have a good quality of life. But that does come with a little bit of maturity, and not everyone is wired that way at different points in their life.
What title did you really want that you're like, oh, I need that title?
Well, I didn't like a marketing associate.
Why?
You wanted to be more of a manager, right? You don't want to be, you know, like on the lower end. Like, for example, right? I know a lot of people that are like, oh, you're basically a personal assistant. It's like, no, I'm an executive. No, I'm not me, but I'm saying, no, I'm an executive administrator, you know, or, you know, people don't want to be like, oh, you're just an admin. You know what I mean? Like they don't want certain titles because there's a stigma that you're like not that important. I know a lot of people in their 20s and 30s that went through the corporate like ladder, and they're looking for titles as opposed to, you know, looking for quality of life and maybe a more balanced work situation.
It was funny when I became a part-time supervisor at UPS, man, I was walking on water, man. I was getting a salary. I was wearing the tie. My grandma's, the late, great Essie Brown. Oh, man, tell you, I'm proud of you, man. I was feeling good, man. And I was just a little part-time supervisor. I don't know. I was just happy about the money, man. Like the title. We do get caught up in this society about titles and this and that. But
it's silly.
It is very, very silly. Let's go to Nick in the East Bay. Nick, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Yeah, long time listener, first time caller. How you doing, gents?
Good, man.
What's
good.
Up, man?
Thank you for calling, Nick.
In.
All right, I got three things for you. The first, fans don't care. No one remembers who started Game 37 of the 2018 season. No
Thank
one
you.
Remembers Game 4 of 2012. Right?
Thank you.
Brings me to point two. It's who closes the game, not who starts the game. We all remember the death lineup. They were amazing, and when there's only one or two possessions left in the game, that's who I care about. Who's going to make that play to get us that win? Point three, I think it reveals character when you do something like Andre Iguodala and you do something selfless and you go to the six-man role and then you bring up Harrison Barnes to let him shine. That's a team move, and that's what fans care about. That reveals something strong. So those are my three points.
Well,
thank you, Jeff.
Good points there, Nick. Initially, Andre Iguodala wasn't too pleased with coming off the bench because his first year here, he started. Harrison Barnes went to the bench under Mark Jackson. Kerr had the conversation. Iggy wasn't too keen to it originally, but he bought into it. And the next point about the death lineup played about 7 to 9 minutes together a game.
Yeah.
If that. It was like, all right, let's break the glass. It's an emergency. Let's roll.
But
it was so iconic that they would go on these runs, but it wasn't like they were playing 40 minutes together.
No, but you also had buy-in, which is the most important thing. And you reference Andre Iguodala. Like, he had made a lot of money before he even got to the Warriors, right? He got an extension in Philly. He got money in Denver. He comes to the Warriors at 30 years old. And he starts, whatever, I don't know, 65, 75 games, whatever he started that first year. Mm-hmm. And the second year, 31 years old, Bonte. Yep. Like, he was at a different point in his life financially, you know, and you even said, like, even then, like, he had made a lot of money, he had status, and he's an older guy, he's got a little more maturity, he wants to win, like, you know what I mean? Like, he had ticked off already being an all-star. Like, JK is not at that point maybe in his own life, and maybe he's not willing to accept that. And that's, like, not everyone is Manu Ginobili, you know?
Right.
Manu Ginobili is a very rare individual.
Let's go to Oscar in Stockton. Oscar, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning,
good
man?
Good morning, Oscar.
Hey, I called yesterday. I told you guys, don't panic. And we just as good as them. And not only that, I said another thing. We got a good organization, and we got a damn good coach. Steve Kerr going to do his thing. And not only that, I've been watching Lily Waters play ever since Oklahoma State. Not only that, in high school. And, man, he can shoot the ball. Not only that, he can play. He's 6'6". And not only that, Steve Kerr, he's got the temperature of the team. But Kuminga, he has to understand, Steph Curry came off the bench. Draymond Green, he came off the bench. Not only that, Klay Thompson was coming off the bench last year. Man, we're going to do what we have to do to win. This is, and stop listening to the media. And I, like you just said, youngsters do want to start. But I always tell my son, just because you got the title don't mean you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
The coach does. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So play your part. And look at the Warriors. You see what they did? Down by 20. I'm in the house with my gear on, and everybody calling me. You see what happened? I say, calm down. Buddy Hill's going to be okay. And what Steve Kerr did, he switched Lindley Waters to start in the second half, and Buddy Hill came off the bench. So Kuminga, he played well after that.
Yeah, he did.
Played defense, and he started running up and down the court. And you know, hey, that's all we need you to do, and you'll get your money. On that note, we will win again tonight. I'm telling you right now, we're going to win again tonight because the Warriors is balling, man. I'm telling you, you guys have a good day, man.
You too, Oscar. I can hear your excitement. And I think Chase Center, they're going to get behind this team. This is one thing I anticipated with this team. Kind of an underdog. Nobody's expecting much. The over-under for the win total is 43.5. And after not making the playoffs last year, this has been a reset. You know, obviously you lose a legend in Klay Thompson. He walks to Dallas, and he's playing well, and Dallas is rolling. Chris Paul goes to San Antonio. But you get this new crop of veterans with D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. And then you get the youngsters who are now growing. Pods is growing. Pods, I think, we don't talk enough about Pods. He played his ass off yesterday. The guy's a gamer, man. I roll with Brandon Podziemski. I think he's a winning player. And then you get Kuminga, and TJG's got to find it. He's, you know, first two games he was great. Didn't miss a shot, 11-for-11. Struggled the last couple games, but I think TJD would get it rolling. And Moody's always staring ready. But this is the type of team where nobody expects much from them, that a fan base will get behind. And I think Chase Center is going to be rocking tonight. I really do. On a Wednesday night, to get the sweep before they go on this monster five-game road trip, I think Chase Center is going to get behind this team all season long. And guys are bought in. Guys are bought in, man. You heard from Buddy Hield. You heard from Lindy Waters. You hear from Draymond. You hear from JK. Guys are bought in on trying to win. And you got to stack wins. That's the other thing. You don't want to fall too far behind in the Western Conference when you look at these standings to start the season. Lakers are 3-1. Phoenix is rolling. You know, Denver's trying to find their way. Oklahoma City's undefeated. So you got to keep pace. You do not want to fall too far behind from the top here because you want to make that top six. It's essential to make the top six and, so you can avoid that play-in.
They're a really fun team. They're scrappy, and they look like a bunch of guys that are desperate to show how hungry they are. And that's the feeling I got watching Lindy Waters last night. I was like, man, this guy wants it. Like, he is going to take whatever tiny sliver of an opportunity he's going to be given. This guy's going to try to maximize it. I couldn't believe how good he looked this year.
It was unbelievable. By the way, what's blowing me away is this number right here. And if it matters to you who starts, 888-957-9570, can make the argument, does it matter, does it not matter? The Warriors last year only had 8 games when they hit 20 or more threes. They were 7-1 in those games when they hit 20 or more threes.
Okay.
They've already had 3 such games in the first 4 in which they've hit 20 or more threes. Had 8 all of last season. That's insane to me.
Well, we were talking about this, you know, in the offseason, and it's like, you know, the Moneyball thing. Hey, we're losing Giambi, but what if the cumulative of adding three or four players equates to the output of what one player would give? And, like, I was trying to make the argument, like, you know, the cumulative that they brought in they hit more threes than just individually Clay and Chris Paul. But it's hard to, like, make that. I mean, come on. Clay's one of the greatest shooters of all time.
Well, not only that, because you don't know who's all going to play.
Exactly. Like, what are the overlapping minutes going to be? You know what I mean? And, like, but early on, it just, you lost one of the greatest shooters ever. But the bench has added a bunch of shooting. And so I think the cumulative early on, the returns are great.
Yep, no doubt. 408, Comcast Business Text Line. Starting doesn't really matter. Remember when the Warriors won championships with Bogut, Zaza, JaVale McGee starting. But those guys didn't normally finish games. No doubt. All right. 650. It's funny. Somebody's sick. Break, break, break. Ha, 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 ha. Is Lubman screaming in the ear? He's not screaming today because he went to the game last night. He had a good time. But more Warriors talk coming up. Brought to you by Safeway.
Inflatable pool. Full of dad's hot air.
Ingram on the jog down the right side. Kuminga there. Ingram trapped. They feed Misi. Misi lost the ball. It's on the deck. Alvarado comes up with it. He'll penetrate. Hand off. Misi lost it. Throws it away. Kuminga with it. Kuminga off to the races. He's going to go in and dunk it over the head. Warriors get to the century mark plus one with 6:35 to go.
Bay Area, it's Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Josh Askey on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
I got you, JK. I got you, buddy. We're still rocking with you. Big game for him. Big game for the Golden State Warriors as they rally from a 20-point deficit. The last time they did that was in the 2022-23 season against the New Orleans Pelicans. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. It was unbelievable when they came back in that game. Draymond has sparked the team because Herb Jones and Brandon Ingram, he starts getting into it with them. There's a big scrum on the court. And next thing you know, the Warriors rally. Curry starts going crazy. Starts setting a high ball screen for him. And then Jonas Valanciunas is out there on the three-point line. And Curry is like, yeah, I'm going to take him for this dance. I'm going to cook him. I'm going to fillet him. And that's what happened in that game. And yesterday, it was just a great ball movement. The Warriors get up to 34 assists last night. 34 assists. So the ball was hopping. But these winning categories, folks. And these are winning categories. Fast break points. You look at the combined fast break points, 56 to 11. You look at the field goal attempts, 97 to 74. You think about the points off turnovers, 34 to 5, as I just mentioned here. So all the hustle points, all the rebounding, all the shot selection, the ball hopping. It was beautiful. It was on display yesterday as they rallied from the Pelicans. And they're trying to do it again. Can they get greedy and get the split? I mean, excuse me, get the sweep, not the split. They already got the split. Can they get the sweep?
This is a team that's got a lot of guys that annoy the hell out of the other team. There was a point in the game where CJ McCollum is, you know, there's a dead ball. It's going to be a sideline inbound. And GP2 is just kind of like, I don't know, bent over at the waist with his head kind of in CJ McCollum's like chest, stomach area. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he's like doing anything illegal or anything. He's just annoying CJ McCollum. I'm thinking Pods is kind of like that as a guy. Like, he'll pick you up the full length of the court. He'll annoy you. He'll get his chest into you. GP2 will do that. Buddy Hield offensively. He moves more than I gave him credit for. I thought he was kind of a standalone guy. His off-ball movement's not bad. It's not on the level of Curry, but, like, it's not bad. Like, I underrated that. Looney's kind of like a I'll-get-in-your-chest kind of guy because that's just who he is. Moody's a scrapper. He'll scrap with you. They got a lot of guys that are just kind of annoying to play against. Yeah. And I thought yesterday was on full display in that second and third quarter.
Yeah, no doubt. How many people are enjoying the Let It Fly Warriors? The Let It Fly Warriors, don't forget, hip-hop made the Bay. The most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. And it's hip-hop made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick. That is this Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Better get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Come on, man. Who doesn't want to see that show? Let's go to Oreo Cookie. Oreo Cookie in Oakland. What's going on, man? Good morning.
Hey. Hey, what up, man? Good morning. I'm just tripping on how all the callers are saying that it doesn't matter who starts. I say it definitely matters who starts. At the end of the first quarter, we were down 31-14. Thank God that our shooters shot the lights out last night, and it ain't going to be every time that they're going to bail us out, man. And the question I think you guys are always going with or trying to center it around Kuminga. I don't think it's a Kuminga thing, man. I would like to not start Draymond. What's the point of starting him if he's not doing anything as far as helping us offensively? Because we are an offensive team.
Well, I guess the argument is pretty simple. It's and whether people agree with it or not, their rhetoric is with Draymond off the floor, I believe they were like 29th or 30th defensively. With Draymond on the floor, they're infinitely better.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the same argument could probably be made. Without Curry on the floor, you're offensively not as good. Like, I hear that. Here's the question that I have. Like, if Curry's going to be out, let's just say, another couple of games, you really don't have a backup point guard, like a pure point guard. And Dre really is that pure point guard. So if you're going to start pods, you know, maybe Draymond is the guy off the bench and you start Kuminga. I just don't see them doing that. But, like, you know, and running Draymond Green essentially as that point forward off the bench, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. Plus what he means defensively, getting guys in the right position there, bringing up the floor, bringing the ball up the floor. But, you know, Oreo Cookie. Does anybody agree with Oreo Cookie? 888-957-9570. Because I can play devil's advocate as much as I say, hey, man, the starting five doesn't matter. It's the status thing. It's who finishing. They have gotten up the slow starts in 3 to 4 games that they've played.
Okay.
Portland got off to a slow start. Now they're trying to figure out the lineup with JK, Wiggins, Dre, TJD, Steph. Got off to a slow start against Utah, down 15-6. Yesterday, as Oreo Cookie just mentioned, 34-14. So maybe it's not so much about who starts, it's about having the right combination out there. So can Steve Kerr find the right combination to start a game? And the right combination, maybe he doesn't have that yet. Maybe it is a Buddy Hield and Stephen Curry in the backcourt with Andrew Wiggins and Dre and Looney. Maybe it's CJD and Dre and Wiggins and D'Anthony Melton and Steph. Maybe it's Pods and Steph. I don't know. Steve Kerr doesn't know yet. But maybe it's about getting the right combination to start the game. Not so much who's starting, but the right combo to start.
Am I crazy off of one game to say that maybe they experiment with Lindy Waters down the line somewhere if this kind of sustains? I mean, it feels so premature.
Yeah, because then there's a Steph element. Does he know how to play with Steph? How's he play with Steph?
I don't know. But
I don't know. I don't care. His shooting's great.
He's Red Dead Revolver, the old video game. I mean, that guy was dialed in yesterday.
He was dialed in yesterday.
I couldn't believe. You know, it's one thing when you see a guy in the preseason. He played with his hair on fire yesterday. I was so impressed.
I was impressed, but I don't want to get crazy.
No, I
don't
want to get crazy. It's one game.
It's one game. I don't want to get recency bias, but I believe this young man. This young man believes in himself, but he is 27 years old, so he's mature.
Steve Kerr did say last night multiple times in the postgame, Bonte, that Lindy Waters was the second best at minimum
in training camp.
Yeah.
He had a great camp.
So no, I don't know. Practice is practice, right? I don't want to make it like it's the end all be all.
Well, Antonio Daniels told us yesterday, who was it? Brennan Ingram. And who else was it that had a great camp? And I was like, wow, 1A, 1O. Jordan Hawkins.
Who the was young man out of UConn at one point in the game.
Yeah, he struggled yesterday. Jordan Hawkins, a young man. Yeah, he was 0-6 for the game. 4-4 for the free throw line. He'll score 4 points. Had no impact.
I didn't think that was a foul on the 3-point shot.
No, I didn't either.
Where he kicked his leg out. Anyway, keep going.
But Antonio, and so I was like, what about Zion? He goes, oh, it doesn't mean Zion had a bad camp. But it's just these guys had a better camp. So I don't know how Steve Kerr's going to roll with this. But the hustle points going into that game last night. People are going to love this. Second in offensive rebounding so far to start the season. Second in second chance points to start the season. They're number one in the league, and I think this is important. This is a stat that gets overlooked. I wish we talked more about it. Deflections. They're the best in the league when it comes to deflections in the half court or the full court, and they're number one in steals per game. And the deflections, I think, is important because there's only 24 seconds in the shot clock. You get one or two deflections within a half court, and all of a sudden you're disrupting your off, disrupting that offense, and all of a sudden they're set. And oh boy, we got to play iso ball. Oh no, our flow. That's what the Lakers did so well to the Warriors in that playoff series a couple years ago. They got so many deflections within a half court where it threw off the Steph and the Clay and the Draymond and the split action. It threw it all off. So having these deflections and getting your hands on the basketball where guys got to, oh, man, I got to gain possession here. That's a very intriguing stat to me. So, again, second in the league in offensive rebounds. Yesterday they had 11. Looney's got 20 through four games. Second chance points, they're second best in the league. And last night, where are they at in second chance points? 13-11, so a little down. Deflections, I would love to see the deflection numbers from last night. And steals, they had 15 more steals last night.
They look like a team that when they're guarding off ball, they don't fall asleep as much.
No.
And are so hyper-focused on where their man is, you know, in relation to the hoop. There was a moment last night where JK was off ball and Alvarado tried to seam one in on a cutter, and JK just jumped right in front of it and just picked it off. And I'm like, I don't think JK does that last year.
No doubt.
Last year, he's either paying way too much attention to the point guard and doesn't see his man cutting and has left two steps to the left, or is so close to his man that he plays himself out of the play. They've done a really good job. Now, I guess, like, the personnel they brought in is better defensively, right?
Yep.
Than last year.
Melton's better.
Is Kyle Anderson better than what they have?
Kyle Anderson's not bad.
Sarich?
He's a lot better defender than Sarich. He's no doubt.
They're different players.
Yep, no doubt. But he's a lot better. He moves his feet well. He knows. And the communication defensively, these guys know where to be. Now, Kyle Anderson should get credit in terms of this when it comes to defense. He played for Chris Finch in Minnesota, and he played with Memphis. They're one of the better defensive teams with JJJ and Kyle Anderson coming off that bench. So he's a smart player. He's got to get a shot rolling offensively. But they seem better. Chris Paul was a bit older.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, without a rim protector, is not the same defender. Now, I will say, just watching the Mavericks, and I watched that entire game yesterday against them and the T-Wolves, Klay looks like a better defender on that team because they have Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively behind them, two shot blockers. And P.J. Washington could go out there and contest some shots at the rim, so all of a sudden, he could press a little harder on the perimeter and not give guys space. He forced a turnover on Anthony Edwards late in the game. The final moments of that game was really good defensive possession for Klay. But overall, on this team with the Golden State Warriors, they are a better defensive team. And I think Draymond Green, we don't get with Draymond Green. We always fall into everything else with Draymond. There's a lot of times if you just watch the game, him pointing, communicating, stay back, I got it, let's switch, subtle little switches there in the paint. So defensively, that's why you start Draymond Green, because you want to start off with it. You don't want guys just getting out there, getting comfortable, getting hot, and that's where Draymond Green comes into play. So, look, he'll get rolling here, but defensively, it's communication. I think it's important when you have a new basketball team, and Draymond Green's the one who's been here alongside Steph for so long to where he understands what Steve Kerr wants to do defensively.
Well, I thought yesterday they couldn't get off to a good defensive start because you didn't have Wiggs or JK in that opening lineup, and you're giving Ingram a lot of space to shoot, and he can just kind of shoot up over guys, even if you're trying hard. I thought Buddy Hield did try hard yesterday, but he's not the greatest defender. He's way more effort than I thought. I thought he was a turnstile defensively.
Yeah, no, he's playing hard.
He's playing way better. I hope it's sustainable. But like when you don't have Wiggs and you don't have JK in that starting lineup, you do lack the perimeter defense.
And when you're not scoring offensively, you're taking the ball out the hoop. Pelicans are setting up their half-court defense, and you're struggling here because you don't have Steph. It was ugly, man. It was that first quarter was ugly. 21% they shot, 21.5%, 5 of 23, 2 of 13. But once in the second quarter, Lindy Waters helped break this game open. Pardon me, and Buddy Hill, he spoke on that after the game. He's like, they asked him, what changed? He said, Lindy Waters. So who was Lindy Waters the third? Pardon me. When that trade went down, I think it broke on the show, actually. We had no idea who he was.
No clue.
But it's a nice little move by Dunleavy. Nice little subtle move, working the margins, bringing in a player. Now, I don't know how sustainable this is. I want to see it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But so far, so good for Dunleavy.
I mean, he's He's got a little juice. He tries hard. And I kind of underrated his handle. I was like, I thought he was just a catch and shoot guy. Like, I was thinking in my mind, like, Anthony Morrow from back in the day, right?
Yep.
Like,
who played for the OKC, too?
Yeah, very ironic.
Georgia Tech.
But, like, that's what I thought, like, a stationary, gonna, you know, don't leave him, you know, on an island. He's going to knock it down. No, he's got a little handle. Like, not the greatest, but he's got a little handle. He had a couple of nice driving layups. Yep. He went back door a couple times. I think JK hit him on a back door on one. So, yeah, I think he's got a little more to his game. And clearly Kerr loves him. And I think that's the most important thing. The coach loves him.
I do want to open it up the lines because it happens with Shanahan. But I want to know where Warrior fans are with Steve Kerr. Because, I mean, you look at the system yesterday, his offensive philosophy, you saw it on display. I don't know how much Terry Stotts has implemented, but the ball was hopping around. And so far, in three of the first four games, they've had over 30 assists. You're right. They've had at least 33 assists in three to four games. 34 last night, 38 in the opening night with 33 against Utah. Where are we at with Steve Kerr? 888-957-9570. I think Steve Kerr's done an excellent job so far. It's not easy having a 12-man rotation. And he's telling us, like, dude, I'm going to play 12. I'll play 12 in the first quarter if I have to. And he's done that. Where are we at with Steve Kerr so far through the first four games? 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr asked on what changed in the second half.
I just think, you know, playing without two starters and another guy in Melt, who's one of our first guys off the bench, it's an adjustment. So first quarter, we were just trying to get a feel and obviously struggled to make shots. But I just liked the fact that we kept poised and everybody who came off the bench played well and made a big impact. And, you know, that's all we talked about in the first quarter, a couple timeouts. Just it's a long game. We'll get there. But we took care of the ball, 8 turnovers for the whole game, which always is going to give us a chance to win. And then our defense kicked in, and obviously Lindy Waters came in and lit it up and changed the game.
Well, what about mixing him in to the rotation? Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about that.
We've decided we're going to have a 13-man rotation now. We're going to go from 12 to 13. I've said it since day one of camp. This guy's a ball player. The game flows when he's out there. It's not just because he's a good shooter. He's a good basketball player. It's the shots that he doesn't take because of his patience. It's the cuts that he makes to the basket. It's getting into the fight defensively. From day one of camp, this guy has been one of our best players, frankly. But couldn't get him out there till tonight. He's going to make his case for more playing time. So I don't know. I'm just happy to have this kind of depth for nights like tonight where we're missing three guys. And it'll pay off big time for us over the course of the 82.
And you know what? Somebody just mentioned this, and I remember this play. 510 Comcast Business Text Line. Waters missing a quarter three. But going back and grab a rebound and hustling. And it was, on that specific possession, remember Buddy Hill contesting at the rim, going straight up to make it difficult. Forget who shot the layup there, but he made it difficult and contested the shot, and Lindy Waters hustling back. So they're hustling. They're playing hard. They're giving 100%. And Steve Kerr's pressing all the right buttons here. So 888-957-9570. How would you rate Steve Kerr through the first four games? I think he's done an excellent job so far.
Lindy Waters is playing fearless. I think that's the word that I keep coming back to. And I think to a degree, Buddy Hield too. He took a shot at the top of the key, almost near the logo, like, wow, heat check. And I don't know who texted the group thread like, wow, Buddy Hield. I mean, you talk about feeling it. I mean, that's some freedom. But the guys, they look comfortable and they look hungry. And so to your point about like Steve Kerr, I think Steve Kerr has started to curate this roster to a bunch of guys that he likes and trusts.
No, I think
the last couple of years, the roster, there's been some people on it that he just, for whatever reason, doesn't like, doesn't trust. And that he might just be right about that, but like can't play the way he wants them to play. I feel like they've done Dunleavy has done a really good job giving him pieces that he likes. Like when you say, and I know he's joking, 13-man rotation, clearly he likes like 9 or 10 of those guys. At minimum.
Does.
Wouldn't you agree?
He does. He even likes Guy Santos. He likes Guy Santos.
Well, that might be.
He does like Guy. And I like Guy. I was in the Waymo with Guy.
Oh, yeah?
Not too long ago. We took him to go to Game Park to see the Buffaloes. You couldn't believe it. It's like, what? I got Buffaloes over there. I said, yeah, look at that.
He didn't know, huh?
He didn't know. Huh. It's from Brazil, man. It's from Brazil. Key Santos. Anthony Slater, he's going to join us at 8:30 on the River Islands Guest Line. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So can they get the sweep before hitting the road? And this is a Monster 5-game road trip against Houston, against Washington, D.C., or the Washington Wizards, against the Boston Celtics, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Kenny Atkinson. And of course, that trip ends with the Oklahoma City Thunder, so it's imperative that the Warriors stack these wins early and often.
I'm watching New Orleans last night, and I don't watch a lot of New Orleans basketball. I'm not here to pretend like I'm, you know, league passing them and they're oh my God. But you could tell they missed a pure point guard. Like, it felt very your turn, my turn between Ingram and Zion, depending on who was on the floor and when. And they didn't have the spacing of the shooting of Murphy. And, like, you could see that was a big loss for them. But you still had two individuals going off in Ingram and Zion, but it never felt connected from about midway through the second quarter on. That's a win that the Warriors might look back on at the end of the year as they're fighting, you know, a game here, a game there, whatever. Like, that's one of those wins. I think they lose that game, no doubt about it, last year. That's a game, like, you banked. You had no business winning after a quarter. I looked at that, like, oh, they might just get blown out in this one. To fight back and win that one, that is a testament of the coach. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit this morning.
This is a different team, the Pelicans. It's a different team. No Jonas Valanciunas. CJ McCollum's a year older. You know, Brandon Ingram, one thing that's going to be talked about there in the Big Easy, and we didn't really get into it with Antonio Daniels, but he's got a contract coming up, and that's hovering over his head. And then where is Zion Williamson? Is he bought in to what they're doing in New Orleans long term? You don't have DeJounte Murray right now, that point guard they're looking for. No Trey Murphy the third. I don't know if they're going to have Herb Jones tonight. I really don't.
They play McCollum a lot. McCollum stinks.
He's, yeah, not my favorite player.
He's making $33 million this year.
Not my favorite player.
What did he score? How many did he score last
night? He scored 5 points.
He only scored 5 points?
5 points, five assists, six rebounds.
Couldn't have. I don't know why. He just bugs me. He's done nothing wrong to me. It's not like I hate who he is, but just watching him, he just annoys me.
Because of the Warrior hate?
I don't even know what it is, but like watching GP2 get up into him and like him being so like rattled by it, I'm just like, come on, CJ, relax, dude. This is what GP2 does.
Speaking of trapes, he must have been happy in Salt Lake City.
They got a big win.
Because the Utah Jazz.
I think they won two in a row.
Yeah. Just the Blazers and the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like the Warriors. Hey.
Can't win the NBA. The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
But they've taken care of the G League teams. Good for the Sacramento Kings. Ah, that's a shot at Kitty.
What did you make of Zion Williamson last night? He had about 25 or 26 points through, I don't know, maybe two and a half quarters.
I'm a little surprised he hasn't developed a consistent jumper.
They were laying off him. Dre was begging him to shoot a three.
And he made the first one, but then Dre was like, go ahead, keep shooting it. You brought it up, and I kept thinking about it during the game when I was watching him. You brought up, man, most fascinating he watches is sports. And last night, you asked me what I think of him. I wasn't fascinated by his game yesterday.
Why do you say that?
Just, you know, playing bully ball. He gets to the bucket, and he hits his layups. Nothing fascinated me. Like, doesn't feel like he makes his team better.
Doesn't he like need a point guard to set him up? Because to me, maybe. The whole Zion experience is I get the ball so deep in the paint and I'm so explosive, you can't double me. I'm too deep for you to double. When you don't have a point guard or a penetrator, you saw the Warriors pack the paint and they were like, we dare you to initiate offense from the outside. And I just don't think that's in his game.
Yeah, I was watching Minnesota and Dallas. And Anthony Edwards came out, he scored 24 in the first quarter. He was on fire. Now, to Dallas's credit, they held Anthony Edwards to 13 points over the final three quarters. Looked like he was on his way to a 50-burger, and he didn't get that. So, he doesn't feel like he makes his team better. It doesn't look like it. Well, Not right now.
Him and Ingram look like they're on solo missions.
Right.
They don't look like they know how to play together.
No.
Ingram's a very, I think he's actually very good, but he's very much like ISO. I have to take three or four hard dribbles, get to my spot at the elbow. Because the Warriors have been linked to Brandon Ingram. I believe they said, like, we're good. Like, essentially, like, we don't want him. I could see where I think he's a good player. I wouldn't want him on the Warriors. So the way we play, like, if you're mad at JK, I mean, the ball going to Ingram and no one else seeing it, I don't know how that would fly with some of these guys on this team.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, a situation in Detroit with Jamison Williams, who's suspended for the next game. He's suspended for two games for performance enhancements, said he didn't do anything. But they're reviewing a request for a warrant to arrest Williams on a charge of carrying a concealed weapon. Apparently, back on October 8th, policemen pulled him over. They let him roll. They just let him go, despite having to load a gun. The Lions promptly notified the league upon learning of the matter. We have no further comment at this time. So, Jamison Williams, man, a promising young wide receiver, just keeps getting caught up in some things here. So, I don't know why he's rolling around with a gun. I don't know if he needs a gun, but who am I to comment on that? I mean, these athletes have targets on their back. So, we know that from what happened down the street with Ricky Pearsall. Let's go to Colin Hayward. Cole, what's happening?
Hey, morning, fellas. Just a few quick things. A couple minutes ago, you guys were talking about the starting five. I think that, Steph for sure when he's healthy, Kevon, Draymond, Kuminga, but I really want to see how Moody would fit in there at a starting five, especially after paying him $39 million extension. I think it's in him. I think he would play better just getting that chance. But there's that. And then McCollum, I think he's garbage, man. I think the player that made him is Damon. Damon Lillard made him, and then he got paid to go to the Pelicans.
He's made, I think, like $250 million in his career. No, I'm with you. But he's also 34 years old, right? Most guards at 34 years old really dip off in the NBA. Yeah. Very few are Steph Curry.
Yeah, one last thing. The other night, Dallas's first game, after the end of the game, I know Clay had a hell of a game. But you can see in the post-game interview, man, I feel like he misses home a little bit.
What makes you say that?
All right, guys, have a good day.
No, Cole. What makes you say that?
You could just see it in his face, man. I know he's enjoying himself over there, and he's going to have a good time with Kyrie and Luka and stuff, but you could just see it, man, signing Warrior jerseys. I got a buddy that lives out there, and, he kind of was at the game just kind of watching things, and he just pretty much said, hey, you could just see it, even on the post-game interview when he was like, yeah, I look good in blue. Just those little innuendos.
I don't know. Let me ask you about Moses Moody.
He's fine.
What did you see from Moses Moody last night, B?
I saw,
because whenever he doesn't play, we hear from a lot of Moses Moody people.
Right. Well, he only played 17 minutes and 30 seconds. And look, he got off to a slow start yesterday. 1 of 3 in the first quarter. He didn't play the entire second quarter when they made the run.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He didn't play a single second in the second quarter.
Well, you went with GP2, yeah. Kyle Anderson, Pods. Like, that was that lineup was doing dirt.
Yeah, so look, I think Moody, for what he was asked to do, I think he had a solid night. I think he did. And I'm just looking at the way he moves. Shot looks quicker. Release looks quicker. But when you talk about Lindy Waters III, I could already see how Kerr maybe is catapulting him above Moses Moody in a rotation. So, Warrior fans, are you good with that if Steve Curry lets him do that? Because I know Moses Moody, look, we all love Moses Moody. He's a pro. He talks like he's been in the league for 15 years, man. I'm so impressed with the young man. Maturity beyond his age, man. Wise beyond his years. But he played 17 minutes, and when they made their big runs, he wasn't in the game. So I thought he was solid. I think Moody's never out of position. No. I don't have, but he's right now. Is he a starter? I don't know.
I don't think so. He had a nice little two-man game with Pajemski in the corner, I believe in the third quarter, where he kind of, broke his guy off the dribble, kicked it out to Pods. Pods tried to break his guy off the dribble, kicked it back to Moody. Moody did it again, and then boom, got Pods for the wide open three, which was a huge momentum play for the Warriors in that one. And it was just like little things like that. He knows how to share the ball.
We got a couple minutes here. We had Colin Hayward. Is that what we're going to do all year? Let Clay be Clay. Let Clay be Clay. You see, it's just fascinating, man. November 12th can't get here soon enough, so we can get it all over with. The standing ovation, hey, we miss you, Clay, everything like that, because I'm so ready to move on. Let him do him. I'm worried about what Buddy Hill and the Golden State Warriors and Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II. What are they doing? Can we get back to the damn playoffs? Can we get back to the playoffs? 888-957-9570. How would you rate Kerr's performance? Real quick, do we have a... get the World Series real quick before the injury report. We're going to get Slater on at 8:30. But the Yankees win yesterday to not get swept, which is good. I thought they weren't going to get swept because Freddie Freeman hit another two-run home run. That's six straight games in a World Series where he's hit a home run, which is now a World Series record.
It's incredible.
Postseason record. And he smoked that pitch.
Why are we pitching this guy in, middle inch? Can we make a guy with a broken ankle or whatever the injury is, can we make him like go the other way? Yeah. Can I make him reach a little? Jeez Louise, what are we doing? It's driving me nuts. But the big part of the game, in terms of like early on,
yeah.
How about Mookie Betts down the right field line with the ball that he catches, and then the fan is literally grabbing the glove and trying to like rip the ball out of the glove? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Do we have that sound? Do we have it? Spinotti will pull it in just a second.
I couldn't believe it.
It was wild. It was wild. While you look for it, Spinotti, let's take this caller. Marcus in Pacifica wants to talk about the starters. Marcus, good morning. He's still on hold. I was going to get to him here. Let's get to him. Now we got Marcus. Out in, what do they call Pacific? Do they call it P-Town?
P-Town. Yeah. Yes, P-Town. I'm actually originally from the city, but my wife and I moved out to Pacifica in 05. Love it. Great beach town. Get out and walk. They got the infamous Taco Bell that serves margaritas.
Yeah. Taco Bell Cantina.
If you haven't been... Slide through.
My brother lives in Pacifica.
I was going to jump in. Nice.
Yeah.
What part?
Oh, like near Nick's Rockaway.
Manor, Lindemar.
Up near Terra Nova.
Okay, all right. Is that I'm watching them football games on Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. Good. What you got on the Dubs?
So I do think the starters matter. It's not the 80s where, you know, you had Hall of Famers coming off the bench. Most NBA players today, you're paid to be a starter. Most guys coming off the bench, your six men are not going to be getting that type of money. So to the players, it does matter. But I think more importantly, it matters because as we get farther along through the season, you're going to need to be able to depend on certain players to be able to play in those closer games. A lot of the teams are still starting to figure out kind of what they're going to be doing with style. You saw last night, you know, the big two came out and they both scored 30, but they didn't get a lot from other players. I think that's the problem when you don't find out who you have on the team, New Orleans. But, you know, with the nine, I mean, they had nine players, the Warriors did last night, that played plus 15 minutes. I think that's going to change. But the biggest thing that I wanted to point out in this one, and I know we're kind of going up and down on Moody and what he is, you know, per 48, he's 35-5-3. We're only four games in. I know it's really early, but Moody, when he's on the floor, is playing. He can't do anything when he's not in the game. So on the flip side of that, you've got Kuminga, who's 22-7-3, 37% from the field, 16 from three. Moody's 53-52. That's not going to happen all season either, but it's something you got to acknowledge, and I know Kerr is. We'll see how these rotations go. I expect within a month or so, we're not going to see as many players out there, but we're a stack. We've got a
Can I ask you something, Marcus?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned how the rotation may be pared down and they may only go with 8-9. Who would be the odd players out in your rotation here with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, it's really difficult because you have a lot of guys that are playing really well. Payton has already shown, last night he played 8 minutes. I thought he had a great game in his 8 minutes. Kyle Anderson, he's big, so we're going to need to use his size, but he might be one of those guys where one night he plays a little bit more than others. I don't think he's going to see consistent minutes. Waters, if he keeps shooting like that, it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor. Yeah. But, I mean, you got Melton. I mean, of course, Steph's going to be out there. I mean, like, they have a lot of players, which is kind of what I was saying is with Dunleavy, he's really making Kerr's job hard, which I think is good because he's got a lot of really solid players We just need, you know, Hield has far surpassed, I think, anybody's expectations as far as what he's been able to do so far this year. He's proven to be a true number two. Him and Steph are going to be really difficult to handle. Once Wiggins kind of gets his flow, he's got to start. Kuminga is really, I think, playing himself out of minutes. He's got the talent, but, you know, I was talking to my son first game of the year, and I was telling him, this is Kuminga his rookie year. He's driving into three people. He's not patient offensively. He really is, you know, pushing the tempo, whereas with the Warriors, the ball's got to move. He's going to get his shot.
Yep. But good point, Marcus. We got to run here because we got the injury report. He's going down the roster. Marcus is tapped in here. He's tapped in with what's going on. Do you have to call? Before we get to the injury report, line up the calls because we're going to get right back into Warriors. But I do want to squeeze this in. Bottom of the first inning. Gleyber Torres hits one down the right field line. And Yankee fans, you know, Yankee fans did this. Let's take it away, John Sterling.
Cutting toward the line is Betts in the corner. I can't see where what happened. I honestly don't know.
That's interference. Got to be. The fan took the ball out of his hand. He's out.
See, if the ball goes in the corner, the stands that jut out take away our view. So Betts went right into the corner in the wall. Let's look, Susan.
Well, he's got the ball, and a fan took it right out of his glove. You can see it. He's got his glove in his hand. The fan in the Yankee uniform is prying the ball out of Mookie's glove. This guy should be kicked out of this game.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, my goodness.
He's allowed a route, and that's all. I couldn't agree more.
He physically opened up Mookie's glove as he was trying to get the glove back. You don't want to lose your glove. And he took the ball out of his glove.
So there's one away, and here's Juan Soto.
I have a very simple rule. Whether you're at a Niner game, a Warrior game, or a Giants game, do not insert yourself into the action at any level. Don't stand up and try to block a guy or, you know, like when they're shooting a corner three and you're sitting in one of them really good seats. Yeah. I've never sat there, but you get my point. Like, don't insert yourself into the game. Don't be that person. Now, when like it's a home run play or a ball down the line, I understand the natural inclination. Like if I were to throw this notebook at you, Bonte, what would your natural inclination be?
Probably throw it right back at you.
Well, to catch it, right?
Oh, no.
You're going to stick your hands
up. Catch it and throw it right back at you.
Okay, but you're ruining the exercise. But you get where I'm going. Like I understand the an accidental.
I get what you're saying.
Someone's got a glove on, and they're just not thinking. Like they're reacting. They're not like, oh my god.
No,
I'm interfering here. That was so different. That guy was reaching over and like grabbing and actively trying to rip it out.
And the other guy held Mookie's right arm.
Ridiculous.
The other so it was two guys, and Mookie had every right to either take the baseball and throw it right at his face. Slap the hell out of them, because that's what needs to happen to some of these people. Some people need to just
I'm
be checked.
I'm coming around on you.
Some people just need to be checked. And then these guys are taking photos after the game.
No,
and
it's ridiculous.
They're toast to the town because and Mookie was ticked off. You're grabbing his glove, and
hurt.
Then the other guy grabbed his right wrist. Like, if Mookie took the baseball and threw it right at that guy's chest, are we mad at Mookie Betts? I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
But here the way I look at it, and it's pretty straightforward to me. When they added the nets, initially I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm talking about the ones behind home plate and everything. No, there's a safety factor, which I am all in on. When you run a business, you want to make sure your patrons that are paying a top dollar are safe because people aren't paying attention in the close seats. And number two, I actually kind of like the separation between a player active because that's part of the field of play where you go up against the netting and make a play. Verdugo did that the night before.
Yep.
I almost think you might have to just put nets all the way down the line.
Well,
I hate that we've come to that.
We can't police ourselves.
Bonte.
What's wrong with some of you guys?
Being glorified online. I'm like, no, those are idiots.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are being glorified. We'll get to all the calls here. A lot of Warrior calls today, man. People are fired up about the win last night. They rallied for 20 points, but Mookie Betts, if he threw the baseball right back at the dude or threw his glove at the guy's face or slapped the living hell out of that fan, I would have been mad at it. I would have gave Mookie Betts a standing ovation. I wouldn't have bought his jersey, but I would have been like, Mookie, you eat for free in San Francisco, buddy. What a clown that guy was.
It was a hell of a play by him, too.
I know Joe Davis is ticked off. I mean, it's just unacceptable.
It's a bad look for everyone.
Unacceptable. The Dodger fan in game one, you idiot. What are you doing?
Well, that one, I'm not trying to defend him. It was dumb. But, like, on that one, I get, like, the natural inclination of trying to catch a home run ball. Like, I get it. But, dude, you reached over. That's where I draw the line.
But, see, have some self-awareness.
No, I agree.
That was a Yankee who hit it. You're wearing Dodgers gear.
Well, it might have went over the fence, though, and he could have saved
it.
He could have been an anti-hero.
The trajectory of the ball.
No, I'm with you. But you get where I'm going.
I mean, Mookie could have been injured.
For the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I'm looking at the play again. Did they tie up any of these two guys?
Well, if they broke sprained his wrist, and I'm paying him $300 million, you know how furious I would be as an owner?
No, I would be furious right then and there. They deserve to get ripped out. Did Mookie talk about it after the game? I wonder if Mookie talked about it because we're
He's too classy to come out and say
I would have slapped the living hell out of these fans, dude. I swear to God.
Could you imagine if they would have done that to, like, Albert Bell?
That was bad.
What would Albert Bell have done?
That was bad. Albert Bell would have kicked their ass. He would have grabbed and pulled them onto the field of play, kicked their ass, and then Albert Bell would have been the bad guy. You know? Homeboy grabbing his arm. Who the hell do these guys think they are? I mean, some of these fans are just too damn entitled, man.
I'm going to break somebody's jaw.
Could you imagine that to Xavier Davis?
Yeah, you know? All right. We'll get to all the calls. Mike, Jared, Ariel, Jimmy. There's some really good calls coming up here. And there's a lot on Steve Kerr. I think people are ready to give Steve Kerr his flowers. Not that four championships didn't do anything good, right? I mean, the guy has helped you win four championships. But no, it's some fans to tell you that. Anybody
can deserved it.
Come on, man. All right. Jordan Mason dealing with a shoulder injury. Aggravated his injured shoulder. He's been dealing with the AC joint sprain in his shoulder since the 49ers week 6 win in Seattle. Mason tried to come back in the game, but between the injury and Isaac Grandel's play, made more sense to hold him out. So head coach Kyle Shanahan said that Jordan Mason will be reevaluated after the bye week as the Niners try to get healthy and get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a 3-way tie for first place in the NFC West. You're right, 5-1-0. Tommy Pham would have definitely slapped the living hell out of him. Injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Anthony Slater, 8:30. Your full call's next. Warriors rally from 20 points down, and they blow away the Pelicans, and they'll try to do it again tonight at Chase Center. We'll discuss it here coming up on The Roast.